Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Drag Queen Story Hours are coming to PA. In fact, there was one just in Sinking Springs Library in Berks County, and one planned in that area within the next few weeks. So this is coming. Actually, in Carnegie in Pittsburgh, they held two or three last year also. What is the true intention of these so-called story hours? Just how dangerous is the transgender movement, and why are they targeting children through programs like Drag Queen Story Hour and the many books that are now being written normalizing transgenderism? My guest today is Dr. Michelle Curtella. She's Executive Director of the American College of Pediatricians. Thanks, Dr. Curtella, for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
So what is the mission of the American College of Pediatricians?
The mission of the American College of Pediatricians is to promote the optimal health of all children throughout their lifespan. Our motto is protect the child by preserving the family and honoring life. That is because science tells us our patients begin at conception, and decades of science tells us that children develop best and most healthy when reared by their natural biological parents, a married mother and father.
You're the conservative alternative to the other pediatrician.
We get labeled the conservative alternative to the American Academy of Pediatrics, but the reality is it's about truth.
You're right.
You know, we didn't break off because, we gravitate to the label conservative. We broke off because the American Academy of Pediatrics was choosing political correctness over scientific truth and over medical ethics.
Right, and over the welfare of the children, in essence.
Right.
So, we hear the word gender a lot. What's the term gender mean versus to the word sex?
Right. So here's the problem. Gender got introduced into our vocabulary in a way that people think and actually use gender to mean male or female, as if it's the same as sex. And in some situations, that may be true. Gender does mean male or female, but originally it never referred to people. It only referred to things like, okay, if I named Hurricane Gloria, okay, I just assigned the hurricane a gender. You know, my husband gets a sports car and names his sports car Lola. He assigns his car a gender.
Okay.
So for ages, that was the separation. People had sex, things, or grammar, like nouns, had a gender.
Yeah, I remember having a diagram. I hate a diagram sentences.
Right. In England, way back when we had a diagram English sentences.
Right.
Okay, so that's a problem now because the activists are using gender to push transgender rights.
Right. So the activists are using that term to confuse people.
That's right. The activists are using the term gender to confuse people. So what we have to do to overcome that is to always use the word sex whenever we mean man or woman, boy or girl. We're talking about sex. So sex is our genetically determined biological trait. And it is there from conception until the day we die in every single cell of our body. Gender really means it's tied to sex stereotypes. You know, it's the social expression of your masculinity, the social expression of your femininity. So we really want to avoid the word gender as much as we possibly can to avoid the confusion.
Okay. When we are referring to people, we would talk about their sex.
We want to talk about their sex.
Okay.
The activists in the school system are telling children, you have a sex and you have a gender, as if they've got these two things in their DNA.
As if
absolute false.
As if
absolute
one is boy. Yeah, I tell that to a little boy. You know, you're a boy, but your gender may be something different.
That's right.
Okay.
The schools, these public libraries, these drag queen story hours, they're telling kids, oh, yeah, you were born with a penis, but that doesn't mean you're a boy, because your gender could be a girl, and that's who you really are.
Talk about confusing. I mean, that's confusing to an adult, let alone to a little kid.
It's confusing to an adult. So you can imagine how absolutely scrambling it is to the minds of little kids.
Wow. You know, and as this has come to light, these drag queen story hours here in Pennsylvania, I've done quite a bit of research in the last few days. I've done the research, and I discovered that March 23rd of last year, the Public Library Association held a conference in Philadelphia. And one of the sessions was entitled Drag Queen Story Hour, Reading Fabulously. And the description of that session was, quote, drag queens reading to children. Program organizers with librarians from Brooklyn Public Library will discuss this remarkable and important initiative that promotes acceptance and diversity, unquote. And it says the participants will learn best practices for setting up drag queen story hours in their locations. They will be prepared with strategies and language to explain and, if necessary, defend groundbreaking and potentially controversial programming, and to know which titles best support a program for young children exploring gender fluidity. Right there, the Public Library Association, Gender Fluidity, Young Children Exploring Gender Fluidity. I mean, this whole concept was created by a tarot card reader in San Francisco, I believe in 2017, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that says a lot. I mean, everything in that description you just read, it's so loaded with programming. Well, what's programming? It's propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Young
children exploring gender fluidity? Excuse me?
Yeah.
What? Young kids? They just play. They play with whatever is put before them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have known, okay, every parent, every grandparent, you don't need to be a PhD or an MD. You know that children imitate what they see and what they hear.
Exactly.
So it is quite clear if you bring men who are impersonating highly sexualized women
mm-hmm.
to come and read these picture books that teach you, oh, if you break the sex stereotype, you know, you might be trapped in the wrong body.
Mm, yeah, and that's exactly what we have in Berks County, over where Sinking Spring is, and Exeter Library, Community Library is going to have one here, Drag Queen Story Hour, very, very quickly. And it's the same drag queen doing these in Berks County, and it is a man, it's a gay man, homosexual man, I don't like to use the word gay. But he's homosexual. He's been homosexual since he was a teenager, and he is now a drag queen. He's expressing himself by dressing flamboyantly as a woman.
Right.
And he said in the Reading Eagle article that I read that most kids don't realize he's a man because, you know, obviously he's dressed very much like a woman. But, he's a homosexual, and he admits that. Speaking of Sinking Spring Library, some of the books that he read were Bunny Bear, Glitter, I'm not sure about, I don't know about Glitter. I couldn't find any information on that. And Be Who You Are. Bunny Bear, I know, is about a transgender bear, as if bears can be transgender.
And a lot of these stories, there's one probably similar to Bunny Bear. There's one about a teddy bear who, at the beginning of the story, is wearing a bow tie.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a picture book for three-year-olds.
By
the end of the story, Teddy, who was sad all the way through the book, but realizes he can take the bow tie and move it up to his head to make it a barrette. And he comes out as, he's really a girl bear, and now
goodness.
He's happy. And his owner, the little boy who was the owner and journeyed with him through this self-discovery, so to speak, I love you just the way you are. So
this is for three-year-olds.
This is right, and it's clearly, if the three-year-old does not realize that very salaciously appearing, this
mm-hmm.
person who appears like a salacious woman, even if the child doesn't know that is a man under all that makeup and clothing, the fact that this child is being made comfortable with that person,
mm-hmm.
as the child gets older and then learns about drag queens and homosexuality, there's not going to be any critical thinking there.
True.
It's going to be, that's totally fine.
Totally
I can experiment
normal.
With that.
Mm. Yeah, it's normalizing.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Why do you think the Library Association, because American Library Association, which I'm assuming all public libraries in the country are under that umbrella, they're very much on board with that. Why do you think they are doing this? Why are they pushing the transgender ideology on young kids? Because these drag queen story hours, my understanding is they're targeted for kids 3 through 8 years of age.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know what? It's more than just transgenderism. Transgenderism is just the latest evil to come out of the sexual revolution. And by that, I mean like the whole Planned Parenthood, oh, you're sexual from cradle to grave.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason we see not only the American Library Association, but the mainstream medical and psychological associations and all of higher academia, right? They're all behind comprehensive sex ed and pushing abortion as well as the whole LGBTQT. Why? Because those who are in power in those organizations now, when did they come of age? In the radical 60s.
Mm-hmm.
In the radical 60s, early 70s, right?
Right.
So they imbibed all of this socialistic Marxist tactics and secular thinking, and that's the fruit of it.
Wow.
This is what we're seeing.
Are there any medical schools in the country that you know of that are normal, you know, teaching future
there
doctors?
There are only two medical schools that I know of which are critical about LGBTQT, and those
two
are Liberty University Medical School and Campbell Medical School. Liberty's in Virginia. Campbell Medical School is, I believe, in North Carolina. They are, and of course, they have Christian roots.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of, I do not believe there are any Catholic medical schools that teach the truth about LGBTQT. There are some Catholic undergraduate universities that hold to the truth.
Undergraduate.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, but when they get to, you know, work on their doctorates, though, it's going to be...
It's a challenge. It is. It's a challenge.
Do you think it'll ever reach a time, and I'm asking you to predict the future, but the way things are going now, do you think there'll ever be a time to where medical doctors must adhere to the LGBTQ plus, you know, agenda in order to get a medical license?
It's coming close.
Okay.
That's
scary.
It is pretty much taught in virtually every medical school, every residency program. I receive, as executive director of the American College of Pediatricians, I actually receive emails not only from pediatricians over this transgender issue, but surgeons, internists, family practice, and more recently, medical students who are saying, you know, thank you. They write to thank us, you know, thank you so much for...
Okay. Well, that's
speaking
encouraging.
The truth on this, because
the
most recent one, a second-year medical student, a young man studying at a med school in New York, said, I can't say anything. If I were to say that there are biological differences between men and women that are significant, I would be accused of making a transphobic statement.
Mm.
And that is just simply shocking.
So we're living in a world... An illusion. I mean, basically, it's a world full of illusion because we no longer have biology 101 teaches you the male and female. But
that's
yet,
right.
Medical students are told those don't exist.
Right. Right.
Wow. So, and the drag queen story hours are pushing that. And I know that
the
library director there, Sinking Spring Library, said people have misconceptions or make assumptions. It's just another story hour. There's no agenda.
No agenda whatsoever. That's because those in power have already drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, for sure.
They can't even see the agenda that is right before them. Mm-hmm. And it's an anti-reality agenda. I mean, this is so flat earth.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is.
It's purely insanity.
I know that there was a drag queen in Olean, New York. I'm not sure in their library. I'm not sure what the date was on that. But he said, the presentations were, quote, nothing inherently sexual, unquote. Is that true?
They are sexual.
Mm-hmm.
They are dressed in a sexual manner. They are flamboyant. And, I mean, they make a mockery of womanhood, really, right? I mean, what women do you know who dress like drag queens?
I've not met any.
And if we do meet women who dress like that, we sort of think to ourselves,
something wrong with
probably
that.
Has some issues.
I've seen them at the Philadelphia Gay Pride Parade.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, apart from the Gay Pride Parade,
right, exactly.
You generally do not encounter real women dressed the way drag queens dress. That is very sexualized. It reduces women to their breasts mm-hmm. and other body parts.
Yeah.
And yes, children are being sexualized by virtue of being there and looking at them.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
for sure.
What really bothers me even more than the drag queens themselves, because individuals who do this, I mean, they've got woundedness there. Okay,
right.
They're wounded. But the parents who are bringing their children there,
yeah.
Holy cow, wake up and smell the coffee.
Well, I'm thinking
they will have to answer for bringing their children. They're going to have to answer to a higher authority.
Absolutely.
For presenting their children
yeah.
with that filth.
I'm figuring it's the same parents who take them to gay pride parades. I saw too many parents bring their young children to Philadelphia gay pride parade.
Yeah.
But you wonder what is going on in their heads. Another comment that this drag queen in Olean, New York, made to the newspaper there was that, you know, these kind of programs need to come to rural America. So it's not something that just takes place in the cities or more populated areas. Olean is a fairly good-sized city, but it's not metropolitan. So
that's
they're
right.
targeting every library that will let them in in the entire country.
A physician from Wisconsin who lives in a town of 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking tiny. He wrote me because he protested a drag queen story hour in his town.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to say they're maybe a couple hours away from a true city, but
mm-hmm.
But you know, no, they want no stone unturned.
Exactly.
And
I wouldn't be surprised if a large contingent that came from that large city 2 hours away to participate. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the situation with Olean. They're only maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours from Buffalo.
So I'm
sure that the drag queen was from Buffalo.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he brought a lot of followers with him.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is what they do as well to make us feel like the weird minority.
Mm-hmm. This is a quote from the Drag Queen Story Hour website. Quote, the LGBTQ positive programs like Drag Queen Story Hour are a vital part of making the world a safe and affirming place for all children. LGBTQ children need role models, and all children should learn to embrace gender diversity and learn empathy.
Well, of course, the irony there is that it makes the world an unsafe place for all children.
Absolutely.
Because we are sexualizing everyone. It all reduces down to sexuality and sexual pleasure and no boundaries. And so in addition to indoctrinating kids, not only into accepting others who are LGBT, but it gives those innocent children, it gives all those children permission to ask themselves or think, maybe that's what I am.
Maybe
I should try it out.
And that's exactly what happened. I think it was New York City, a large city, where at the end of the story hour, the drag queen shouted out to the kids, and who wants to grow up to be a drag queen? And
mm-hmm.
most of the kids raised their hands.
Right.
Yeah. It's frightening. And we have some of the drag queen leaders, so to speak, saying that in spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions.
Yeah.
So they want the kids to, as Library Association said, we want the young children to explore gender fluidity.
Yeah. Ultimately, what they want is to eliminate any distinction between the sexes
mm-hmm.
whatsoever.
Yeah.
And why is this dangerous? I think it's important for the audience to understand. It is dangerous, and this is already happening now, because men are invading women-only spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Men are invading domestic violence shelters that are supposed to be for women only, but because the man comes and identifies as trans, the shelters are forced to keep them with the real women.
Yeah.
And there are lawsuits around the country now. There's one, Alliance Defending Freedom is sealing one lawsuit for several women from a domestic violence shelter who were sexually harassed
mm-hmm.
and basically flashed by this man. And the same thing is happening. Even a poor kindergarten student in Georgia, a little girl, 5 years old, was sexually assaulted in her own little girl's bathroom by a 5-year-old boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Who identifies as non-binary. And parents, listen up, because this is true across the country. The schools do not need to tell you if there is a student in your little girl's classroom who identifies as trans or non-binary. So no one knew that this little boy identified that way and had permission to use the girl's bathroom. No one knew because the schools don't have to tell you. And when this little girl went home to her mother, just completely devastated, yeah. And mom figured out what happened, it was the mother and the little girl, ultimately, who were looked at as the
bad guys.
Yeah, they're the ones the school reported to Child Protective Services.
What?
Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting for them as well against that school system.
So that could...
This is what I think a lot of Americans don't understand. This is not just some... oh, crazy, far out there kind of
thing. And it'll go away.
It's never going to affect me. Mm. No. If gender identity is protected in law, that means if you have a law that says you must honor whatever a person says they are, that cuts across everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It affects everyone.
Yeah. That's scary stuff. And I know your website has tons of information. What is your website?
So www.acpeds.org.
Okay, acpeds.org.
acpeds.org.
Okay, fantastic. I do encourage your listeners to keep an eye out for these story hours. It's frightening stuff.
Yeah, and do not let your children go. Do not take your children. Do not let them go. And be very proactive with your school. Go in and ask your children's teachers point blank, what are they teaching about sex and what are they teaching about gender? You have a right to know.
Yeah, and hopefully the schools realize that. We've had to fight that here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But thanks so much, you know, for your insight on this, because it's coming full steam ahead. Across the country, it's here in Pennsylvania, and I know the other 49 states more than likely also.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage your listeners to go to acpeds.org to check out the tons of information that they have there. And again, thanks so much, and keep up the good work there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.